Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. And we are two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm. Phil, this is what, your second, third week in?
This is my second, well, it's third week in the office, second time on the show. I'm surprised you had me back, but thank you.
No, welcome. We'd love to hear your accent. That's why we're going to keep
having
you back.
It's all about the accent. I understand. That's what you guys like me for.
That's right. It's just, if you just keep saying talk, it's great, you know?
Yeah, coffee.
So we are going, this is our estate and Medicaid planning show where we talk about wills and trusts and Medicaid and guardianships, anything related to that. It's a call-in show, so you can give us a call at 518-476-5900 if you have questions for us. And so, Phil, it's a pretty rainy weekend. What you do with little kids on a rainy weekend?
It's tough. It looks like rain for the next week and a half, at least as far as my phone will scroll. All I see is rain. I was hoping it would hold up a little longer. It's my son's last Little League game today, so either it's canceled or I'm standing out in the rain. It's a lose-lose situation.
That's true. I remember I always dreaded rainy weekends because it got a little bit crazy being in the house after a few hours, right?
Yeah, especially in the beginning of the summer when you're cooped up all the winter and you just want to enjoy some warm weather. So, the rain puts a little damper on that, but you figure out a way to have fun.
Yeah, you do, definitely. And today I'm welcoming Ben. We are lucky to have a guest here today.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we'll talk about, but let's get some phone calls going. 518-476-5900 is the number to call, and we'll take your call and get you on the air. So,
yes.
Got plenty of things we can talk about.
Great to have you here, Ben.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you, Ben.
Yes, nice to meet you too, Phil. Is this a one-off today because John Gabriel will be at the MVP Arena watching his grandson graduate.
So that's wonderful.
So which I said, there's no way you can miss that. You just can't miss that.
You have to go to that.
You'd have to give back your grandpa card if you missed that. So
it's graduation season. Yeah, my son just graduated kindergarten on Thursday, so my in-laws are up. I think they're listening right now. So
All right. So we won't say anything.
Please, thank you.
Yeah, that's great. I love graduation season is great. Kindergarten graduation is just so adorable, isn't it?
It was. It was really nice, and it's those formative ages are so fun because the beginning of the year to now, how much they grow
and what
they learn in those, it's pretty amazing.
So they do a little performance or anything?
Oh yeah, yeah. They sing a bunch of songs, a little performance. They got to announce their name, so. My son was very excited.
That's good. That's cute. I bet he wasn't shy like his dad, right?
No.
He went right up there and said his name.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. So we're going to start off talking a little bit about something we've talked about before, but it always bears repeating about how you really can't trust online forms. And it's really dangerous if you want to try and save money, go online, download a form that you think is going to be really easy. I know, Phil, you had a client who had an issue with a power of attorney this week, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about this week because it actually happened with two separate clients with the form type situation. The first brought a power of attorney into me that they've had since 2021, right? So pretty recent. But I was looking at it and it wasn't the New York State form. They didn't form to all the requirements, let's say, and I asked them where they got that, and they said, well, someone told me to print this offline and send me a website. And I said, well, listen, this is not a valid power of attorney. It's useless. It's not going to be accepted at any financial institutions. So, I'm glad you're here today. Let's talk about getting a valid one in place. And I'm sure you see that situation quite often as well.
Yeah. New York State law requires that you use their statutory form, and you have to, use this specific form, and it's a really long form. It's several pages long. If you're trying to do it on your own, it's confusing, right, as to where to, you have to initial different boxes. You have to think about making gifts, whether you want to give that power to your agent. You have to have it witnessed by two witnesses and notarized. So there's so many ways you can get that wrong. I mean, by not initialing in the right spot, or I've even seen clients have the person they're appointing be a witness.
Right. There's many pitfalls that you can fall into. I tell my clients, like most things, New York State is one of the more complicated states with this, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, the page, it's many pages long. There's lots of different sections. And there's the form side, and there's also the modification section, right? So mm-hmm. as attorneys, we can add things to that modification section based on our experience and what we've seen come up and what may be useful. And if you print one offline, you're not going to get those sections in there most times. Particularly yeah. that, what you mentioned, the gifting section. And yeah, when I go through my normal routine with clients and I talk about gifts, I always say to them, you know, well, what is a gift, right? So mm-hmm. you think of a gift and you just think, well, it's a gift. I give money to someone. I give something to someone, right? That's a gift. And it is. But from a legal perspective, a gift is a much broader definition. It's any uncompensated transfer. So, yes, gifts to family, gifts to friends, but also transfers to different entities like trusts. And we get into a lot of trusts, and it can be a very valuable way to preserve assets, depending on the situation later in life or traumatic incidents. And if you don't have that, quote-unquote, gifting power and the person's not competent, the agent's not going to be able to plan to preserve those assets, and it's very unfortunate. So,
yeah.
you know, having those correct provisions in your power of attorney, it becomes extremely important in a situation like that.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, you know, it's not just online. I had a client who went to their bank, you know, with their mother to get a power of attorney so they could handle her banking. And the bank gave them a power of attorney. And they showed it to me, and it was an old New York State form. So there, at least it was a New York State form, right? But it was a 10-year-old form. So I said, well, this is invalid.
Yeah. Right. Well, in 2021, right, June of 2021, they revamped the whole form in New York State. And to your point, if you had done one before 2021 with the old form, it gets grandfathered in.
Yeah, it was still good. But actually, I mean, I shouldn't say it wasn't valid. The form was valid, but it didn't have some of the newer provisions that we would have liked it to have. For example, the gifting powers.
Sure.
Right? So it wasn't useful the way it was done, right? Because it was an old form and they didn't initial in the right spots. So, and in this particular case, you know, we were trying to help them do Medicaid planning, which would involve transferring assets, right? Which is gifting. And they're not able to do that with the current power of attorney that they had.
It's ironic, too, that they got that from the bank. How many times have you had to have battles with banks about accepting a valid power of attorney?
That's what was ironic about it, right? Because we bring in the correct form, or our clients do, and we get calls from the bank all the time. The clients at the bank, they have the power of attorney, and they're like, okay, I'm here with the manager, and they say they won't accept this form.
Yeah. And the frustrating part is, as attorneys, when we have that argument, they won't even let you speak to their legal department. You have to go through
right.
a representative
right.
and write letters, and which I've done many, many times, and knowing that the power of attorney is valid for what they want to use it for, but it's not always an attorney you're dealing with at a bank. It's a representative, and they might not know the rules, so it becomes frustrating for the attorney, for the client, particularly in stressful situations or imminent situations where you need to do something immediately.
Right.
It can be very harmful to the client. So regardless, if you have a valid power of attorney, at least you can make the argument.
Yes, that's right, that they need to accept it. I've had clients, you know, also bring in powers of attorney from another state, and I know that's a question that we get frequently. And their question is that valid? And yes, it's valid if it was properly executed in another state. The problem I tell them that you're going to run into is if you bring it to the bank, you know, the teller or the bank manager doesn't recognize that form. They don't know if it's valid or not. So they're going to have to send it up to their legal department to review.
Right, because there's always the law and what the law says and what's acceptable, but then there's the practical application. So, right. It's acceptable because it was done legally in the state that you signed it in, but is the bank actually going to accept it is a different question.
And they may accept it eventually, but you may be a week or two into having their legal department review it. And sometimes when we're using powers of attorney, we need to do something very quickly. You know, a lot of our planning is, you know, last minute. Someone comes in, someone's in a nursing home, it's kind of a crisis, and we need to do something very quickly.
Exactly. Often a crisis, and the client's very, you know, very stressed out. They don't want to deal with this. They're getting mad at everybody involved.
That's right.
It's an unfortunate situation to deal with, but it happens quite often. I had another client this week who came in, And she said that through her employer, she had a benefit that they would send her these forms, pre-populated forms based on answers she provided. And she wanted me to just review them and make sure they were legal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I said to her is, you know, A, most attorneys won't do that. They want to use their own forms. And B, I can tell you right now, they're not going to account for everything that I would account for. It's just, you don't know if they're New York State compliant. Right. They're not, it's not an actual person sitting with you and asking you about your life, about your situation, about your, your goals and needs, where we can identify certain issues that a form just can't capture. So it really is, you know, and I'm sure you've stressed it on the show before, but just if you're going to do a document or a set of documents that are this important, make sure they're done correctly and capture your intent. It's really important.
Well, yeah, because sometimes clients use a service like that, and then they end up having to redo the forms, right? So in the end, you're probably not saving a lot of money by doing that. You need to, you know, make sure you get the forms done right, make sure they're correct, you know. Even the New York State, like the healthcare proxy form, you know, that has to be done correctly, and it has to be the right form and witnessed by two witnesses. So I've seen forms, again, from other states or from these online services that just don't look right, you know. So it's probably going to get a little extra scrutiny if you try and use it.
Sure. You want to just avoid that from happening. Or maybe it doesn't include the HIPAA release language, so they can't access medical records. There's many different things that could go wrong with a form like that.
That's right. Or another thing clients will say to me, yeah, I have a healthcare proxy. I went in for surgery 5 years ago, and then I signed it at the hospital. I'm like, okay, do you have a copy of that form? Oh, I don't know. No, the hospital has it.
Right, where is it?
Yeah. Right. I'm like, well, you don't really have it then, right? So you need to be able to have it yourself to produce it to whoever needs it, your doctor.
Yeah, most of these documents, you know, wills, power of attorney, healthcare proxies, if you can't find them, they don't exist. For
That's
all intents and purposes, a will in particular, right? So a will, if you don't have your original, or if you don't know where your original is and you pass away, it's very, very difficult to get a court in the probate process that you have to go to accept a photocopy of a will if you can't produce the original.
Yeah. It's very hard. Yeah.
Yeah. They call it a lost will proceeding. And I think in my career so far, I've had maybe two out of like 15 go through.
Yes.
One was a case, I remember when it was, if you recall her, so from Long Island, Hurricane Sandy was a very big deal. And we had a client whose mother, their house was flooded, and we could prove that she kept documents in the basement. We even had a piece of a will that was all wet. And that was able to go through because I showed it was damaged. But
yeah, well, that's a special case. I mean, that certainly makes sense. Yeah, in that case.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk a little bit more about powers of attorney, and we're here to take your questions, and we'll be back right after the break.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm, a state and Medicaid planning show, where we answer your questions about wills, trusts, guardianships, Medicaid. We answer your questions live. We welcome your questions. Our call-in number is 518-476-5900. And Phil, we were just talking about, you know, the importance of having a correct power of attorney, not using forms online or, you know, that you got from the bank sometimes, right? Or you got from, you know, I don't know, your neighbor or your work plan. There's many forms out there. We need to make sure you use the correct form. And it's we're going to go to the next question of why is it important to have a proper power of attorney? And because if you don't have a good power of attorney, the alternative is a guardianship.
Yeah, so Jean Marie, I know you've been involved in many, and so have I, guardianships. While they have a very important place in the law, it's not the ideal situation for really anyone, right? Yeah. If it could be avoided, and it can be through the simple use of the power of attorney, the healthcare proxy, what we call advanced directives. But what happens when someone waits too long and gets to the point where they don't have the valid competency to sign those documents, right? What's the alternative? Right. And that's the guardianship. You know,
didn't you have an opportunity? You tried to have someone sign the power of attorney recently, but they weren't able to.
Yeah, yep. So that happens, you know, somewhat often, unfortunately. In this particular instance, the family had called us, and the husband was ill. So we had to go see him at the nursing home. And you always try to get a sense of the person's situation first. And according to the family, yeah, he's competent and he's okay. He should be able to sign, right? But when I showed up, the man was not verbal. He wouldn't even open his eyes. And I said to the family, listen, unfortunately, this man does not have the legal competency to sign a power of attorney. We can't do that, right? So then they asked me the question, well, what do we do now? And the answer is, we're going to have to go for a guardianship proceeding, which is a formal court proceeding. And I have to explain to them that, listen, it's going to be very expensive.
Right.
It's going to be a stressful situation. It's a formal court proceeding. We have to air out your private information in a court of law in a public proceeding.
Right.
And there's a lot of work involved. So, you know, they weren't very happy to hear that.
No, they're not. But, you know, on the other hand, there's nothing you can do if the person isn't, you know, really able to comprehend the power of attorney, you know, or in your case, not even able to communicate with you.
Sure.
That's a really tough situation.
It is. And it's not that high of a level of competency required by law, but, you know, what they call it, a moment of clarity, right? So even if the person didn't remember what they did 5 minutes later, if they knew at that moment who they were, who their family were, what their assets are, what they were doing, we could sign it. But sometimes that's not possible.
Right. That's true. Yeah, even if you have... Oh, I'm going to take a break here. We have a call from Carol in Schenectady. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Jane Marie. I have two questions.
Yes.
Really unrelated. The difference between a regular power of attorney and a durable power of attorney?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically under New York law, they're the same. You know, you may see it... you may see it listed differently, but really all a durable power of attorney means is that power of attorney stays in effect even after you become incapacitated. So it's going to be in effect for as long as you're alive. So all of the powers of attorney under the New York statutory law, they're all durable powers of attorney.
There is opportunity to do a limited power of attorney. So say if you were doing one for a specific purpose, if you didn't want to attend a real estate closing.
Yes.
You could do a limited power of attorney where you're giving just a specific set of powers to that individual. But that should only be used for a particular instance. You should have a durable power of attorney. And that's the document that's going to plan for incapacity. And that's going to control what happens. They used to also do, which I don't see anymore. I'm not even sure if they're valid in New York anymore, springing power of attorneys.
Yeah, I don't see them. I haven't done one in years. And a springing power of attorney is where it doesn't take effect until two doctors certify that you're incapacitated. And years ago, I had one of those, and we were trying to get two doctors to certify, and we couldn't get the second doctor. And those are... they're not very useful in an emergency, so that's why we don't really use those anymore.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you could, I'm sorry, go ahead, Carol.
Is a durable power of attorney still like the 10 pages long? I had one about 5 years ago, and it was about 10 pages long.
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, it may even be a little bit longer, but that New York statutory form is pretty long.
It took me an hour to get through it.
Right. I mean,
and signing almost every page, but it's important.
It is important to have Now, I'm old enough to remember when the power of attorney was just one page on both sides, and that was so easy to do. I loved that form, but unfortunately, that's not valid anymore.
You know, I see those sometimes, and I haven't been practicing as long, but those forms scare me. I know that they get grandfathered in, right, because they were legal when they were done, but when I see a two-page power of attorney, I'm always... I know, on edge, saying, is this going to be accepted? This is only two pages long. Cause, you know, like Carol said, I'm used to seeing the ones that are 10 plus pages.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. The other thing is I have a healthcare proxy that's very, very old, and it's an old form. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that still holds.
Well, generally, it's again, the old forms are still valid. But in particular with a healthcare proxy, does your healthcare proxy have living will language in there? You know, about whether you would want to be kept alive or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
So I like to see you do new ones or update those periodically, just so we know that those are still your intentions. Because I have seen if you had a 20 or 25-year-old healthcare proxy, there could be some question about, are these still your questions, right? You may be a different age, a different medical condition. So we want to know.
At least 20 years old.
Right, right. And things are different now. So we want to make sure that this still expresses your wishes.
Okay, I'll have to get a new one.
Yeah, Carol,
my other question is, what are the responsibilities of a trustee in a trust?
Bill, you want to talk about trustees?
Sure. So trustees are held to something called a fiduciary responsibility, right? So as a trustee, you're bound by a law for two major guidelines. You have to act A, reasonably, and B, in the best interest of the beneficiaries, the ultimate people who will receive from the trust. Now, those are somewhat vague requirements, and there's no red line law as to what their responsibilities are. But generally speaking, as a trustee, you should be seeking counsel from other professionals, whether it's financial advisors, accountants, attorneys, to help you with your duties, periodically checking in on how your investments are doing. It's very specific, though, on the situation. A trust may only own a parcel of real estate where the trust creators are still living in. In a situation like that, there's not going to be much the trustee has to do day to day, and maybe they don't have to do really anything until the trust creators pass away. On the other hand, if you're managing assets for, let's say you're a trustee for minors until they're a certain age, you really should be on point and making sure you're periodically checking, are those invested well? Do I have them in the right accounts? Are they being managed? And if you're going to make expenditures or you're going to make distributions to beneficiaries, you want to make sure that you keep track of everything that you do, keep a paper trail, and make sure you're acting in those beneficiaries' best interest. And I know that's, again, a broad answer, and it is very situational specific. And a lot of times, I'll repeat it again, you do want to engage professionals to guide you in that role, because you don't want to do something that would potentially make you liable as a trustee.
Right. That's right. How are the trustees paid?
So under New York state law, you know, a trustee is entitled to a commission. And New York state has a fee schedule for commissions for trustees. It's generally it's 1% annually. You can set different compensation rates. Your trustee can, sometimes waive the commission. If it's, a family member, they often will waive the commission. But they're, entitled to take it depending on how much work there is. They may want to take the commission.
And an important thing to add there, too, is those commissions are taxable income.
Yes.
So if you're taking your trustee commission, or if you're an executor of a will, which is a similar role, whatever commissions you take, you're supposed to claim that as income for your taxes on the next year. It's not tax-free.
I see.
That goes into the factor sometimes about whether to take the commission or not, because it's taxable.
But, and executor, that's another one. I am an executor of a will. Mm-hmm. What exactly are the duties of an executor?
So the duties of the executor are similar duties. I mean, you have a responsibility to collect all the assets of the estate, pay all the debts of the estate, make sure all their debts are paid, and then distribute the assets according to the terms of the will. So, again, you want to make sure that, when you're collecting the assets, like if you're selling a house, you're selling it at fair market value, right? That you're doing your duty to kind of make sure you get the best value.
Well, I know there's an attorney involved as well, so I probably would let the attorney take the main role.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you have an attorney handling the estate, the attorney is going to guide you through the process.
Okay.
Yes, but you just want to make sure that you're paying taxes, filing tax returns, and, you know.
Yes, I want to do it right, but I have no clue how to do it on my own, so.
The cardinal rule for me is if you're never not sure, and especially when it's a situation where you already have an attorney involved, if you're not sure of what you're doing or if that's right, contact him or her first and just confirm it.
Right.
Absolutely. I would do that. That would be the first thing I would do.
Good.
Right. And she did give me the name of the attorney, so we're good there.
That's good.
Okay. Thank you very much for all the information. It's all good.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, those were all very good questions. And I just want to get this in before the end of the show that this is webinar week coming up. We are doing webinars. You love webinar week.
I love webinar week.
Ben is our favorite listener. You know,
that's right.
Attendee.
Mm-hmm.
So webinar week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 2:00. Tuesday is wills versus trusts. That is David's favorite one to do.
Oh, but yes. He loves
are that. Are we doing when a loved one dies or no?
Not We're not time. Doing that this time.
Oh,
I know. You like that
it's
one.
My favorite.
That's right. So on Wednesday, we're doing top 10 reasons to plan your estate.
Oh, that's a good one.
So that's a good one, mm-hmm. right? And then Thursday, we are doing aging in place, which is another great
which
one.
Which is what we're doing right now.
We are.
Well, we're all aging in place.
We're leaving here 30 minutes older, right? And Phil is actually taking the Thursday one, so
That'll
we're happy
to... That'll be my first. Everybody tune in. It'll be great, I promise.
That's right. It'll be great. Happy to have you join in and give a webinar. And if you want to sign up for the webinars, you can go to our website at herzoglaw.com, and there's a button where you can sign up for the webinars, and you'll get a Zoom invitation, and you'll be able to attend the webinar. And everyone's so used to Zoom from COVID, I don't even have to go into that anymore.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think
no,
so.
No, I think it makes, I think everybody knows how to do Zoom now.
Everyone's a Zoom expert.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Even we are now.
Even you can, Ben?
I can do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do it.
That's good. So, any final thoughts as we're wrapping up the show? Boy, this half hour goes fast.
It does go very fast. Yeah. I think one thing I would add in, because Carol brought up a great point about, you know, my old documents, and I get that question very often. How often should I be reviewing these or updating them?
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of course, I tell my clients always, every 5 years or so, take a look at your documents, have them reviewed, or if there's any major life changes, because, yeah, something that's 20 years old may be valid and effective. But because it's such an important document, it's well worth having at least an attorney take a look and say, hey, this is great as is, or listen, we really do need to make some changes. So everyone should do that.
That's funny. 5 years is the same thing I tell my clients. 5 years or when a major life event happens.
Exactly, right.
Right. Someone gets married, someone has a child, you know, someone moves away. You may want to change the order of your power of attorney or something like that. So it's very good to check in with your attorney. We meet with our clients for a free consultation all the time. If you want to just come in, let us look over your documents, see if there's anything new. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.